Bills Thursday through Saturday.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Isaac Lohenkron.
The Miami Dolphins have benched quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. Rookie seventh-round draft pick Quinn Ewers will start Sunday's game against Cincinnati. Zach Wilson will be the backup. Tagovailoa will be the emergency number three quarterback. Here was Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel just moments ago.
Tua, it wasn't easy, you know, for him to hear. It was, you know, a tough conversation, but also I think he exhibited what makes him a captain and a leader. He displayed leadership skills by understanding, but as a competitor, you know, it's tough.
The Dolphins today also released veteran pass rusher Matthew Judon. The Minnesota Vikings play safety Josh Metellus and linebacker Jonathan Grenard on season-ending injured reserve. Atlanta Falcons receiver Drake London will practice today. London had missed the Falcons' last four games due to a knee injury.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, JBS announced plans to close one of its facilities outside of Los Angeles. CattleDodge.com says the world's largest meat company announced the closure late last week. JBS is closing down its Swift Beef Company facility in Riverside on February 2nd, which will eliminate 374 jobs. The plant doesn't slaughter cattle, but processes beef for the sale in grocers' meat cases, which means the facility isn't shutting down due to low cattle supplies. The Fertilizer Institute praised the House of Representatives for passing H.R. 3898, the Promoting Efficient Review for Modern Infrastructure Today Act. It's legislation designed to bring clarity, consistency, and predictability to the Federal Clean Water Act. CEO Corey Rosenbusch says the PERMIT Act provides the guardrails needed to keep critical projects moving while maintaining protections for water quality and natural resources. TFI members routinely face permitting delays that cost time and money. Every 5 years, the dietary guidelines are updated based on current recommendations from a scientific advisory committee. Over 50% strongly agreed with the recommendations to eat all types of vegetables and to choose food and beverages with less added sugars. Recommendations most likely for dissent are eating fish or seafood twice a week and consuming low-fat or fat-free milk or yogurt.
Increasing your almond yield can seem like a tough nut to crack, but it doesn't have to be. Protect your crop with Marivon fungicide at Bloom for added resiliency against frost, long-lasting broad-spectrum disease control, and proven yield results. See? That wasn't tough at all. Marivon fungicide, number one at Bloom for all the right reasons. Always read and follow label directions.
Today, we're talking with aphids and whiteflies about Safina insecticide from BASF.
We just got nailed with it.
So tell us, how are you feeling?
Really, really weird.
And you still want to devour this field?
No way, bro.
There you have it, folks. Safina insecticide is specifically engineered to disorient aphids and whiteflies so they can't eat. And when they can't eat, they can't destroy.
Help protect your alfalfa from aphids with Safina insecticide. Always read and follow label directions.
Get the equipment and trucks you need at Ritchie Brothers Los Angeles Auction, December 18th and 19th. This absolute unreserved auction is open to the public and registration is free. For more details, visit rbauction.com.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are losing steam in afternoon trading, with valuation jitters hammering AI tech stocks. Investors are also awaiting key inflation data tomorrow, with November's delayed consumer price index report. Shares of Oracle are falling over 4% after the Financial Times reported that Blue Owl Capital will not back a $10 billion deal for Oracle's next artificial intelligence data center. Now, the report said that negotiations have stalled on worries about Oracle's rising debt and larger AI investments. And according to reports, Amazon is discussing a potential investment in ChatGPT developer OpenAI worth around $10 billion. OpenAI plans to use Amazon's Trainium chips. This partnership could negatively impact chipmakers NVIDIA and Broadcom by reducing OpenAI's reliance on their hardware. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hilary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm alpine skier Michaela Schifrin. I've won the most World Cup ski races in history. But what does success mean to me? Success means discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us, and it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management firms in the country. If you're looking for success, surround yourself with the people who will get you there. If you're an advisor or investor, choose Stifel, where success meets success.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult a financial advisor before making any investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Hello from the Groves on 41, where olive oil is our favorite subject.
Yes, and we are seeing an increasing awareness of the health benefits of olive oil, not just for your heart, but your brain and your skin, too. I'm drinking it. Consuming more olive oil is easy with our crazy flavors, like cinnamon, raspberry, rosemary, and more. You could have olive oil for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and dessert.
Schedule a tasting and tour at the Groves on 41, or visit us at a farmer's market Saturday mornings in Templeton, Tuesday mornings in Paso, and want to learn more? Go to thegrovesonforty1.com.
Hi, my name is Austin Streamland. At Slow Heating and Air, our passion for delivering exceptional quality and service never wavers. We're a family business serving our neighbors with honest service you can trust. We can help you fix, maintain, and install new heating and air conditioning systems.
And if another company says something big's broken,
call us for a second opinion.
805-423-5119. That's 805-423-5119. San Luis Obispo Heating and Air Conditioning, Inc., keeping you in the comfort zone.
What should you look for when choosing an insurance agent? Experience is a key quality. A good agent responds promptly. It gives you clear explanations, letting you know exactly all the details of your policy. And a good agent has good listening skills, and a good agent takes the time to understand your unique situation. A good agent, like Kevin Hunt Insurance, 105 South Main Street in Templeton. Call 805-434-3276.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs, just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
For some time now, a lot of us have been asking, why can't little Willie read or do arithmetic? And the answer is, he isn't being taught to do that. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
The story is told of the new young schoolmaster telling the old-timer about progressive education. He was enthusiastic about how the children were allowed to express themselves, play games, draw pictures, visit with each other, etc. The old boy heard him out and then said, "We had that when I was in school." The young teacher said, "You did?" And he said, "Yep, we called it recess." A few weeks ago, a national magazine carried a one-page story by a lovely young lady, 24 years of age. She titled her story, "Confessions of a Misspent Youth." But don't let that title fool you. She was in no way a juvenile delinquent. She is instead a victim of some of the modern ideas in education that have been around for a couple of decades or so. Her parents were of that era when permissive education seemed to be the wave of the future. At age 4, in 1956, she was enrolled in a small private school which she describes as a school without pain. It specialized in freedom, the freedom not to learn. The idea was to cultivate the innate creativity each child was believed to have. According to this graduate of the educational sandbox, they had different hours for each subject, but they were free to dismiss anything that bored them. School policy forbade them from being bored, miserable, or made to compete with each other. In studying history by recreating its least important elements, in early American history they made teepees, pounded corn, and ate buffalo meat. Another year they were maids and knights in armor and drank orange juice from tinfoil goblets. As she says, that was the Middle Ages, but they never found out what the Middle Ages were. There were other examples, copying hieroglyphics on brown wrapping paper without ever knowing what the hieroglyphics stood for. They spent a lot of time being creative because they were told that was the way to be happy. At age 10, they were functionally illiterate. Reading hadn't begun until third grade. I have a set of the old McGuffey readers, back when education was old hat. The first volume is for kindergarten. Sadly, this young lady says that upon graduation, all the happy young children fell down the hill. No matter what high school they went to, they were the underachievers, more handicapped than any underprivileged children. One of her fellow students killed himself after flunking out of the worst high school in New York at age 20. Others have put in time at various mental hospitals. Her own mother was advised to give her psychological tests to find out why she was blocking out information. She wasn't blocking it out. She didn't have any information to begin with. Rejected by all four-year colleges, she finally got a degree by way of a start in junior college. She rejoices that her 8-year-old younger brother was yanked out of the same progressive school when her mother finally saw the light and didn't want him to be like her. Her poignant closing line should be over the door of every teacher's college in America. Quote, "And now I've come to see that the real job of school is to entice the student into the web of knowledge, and then, if he's not enticed, to drag him in. I wish I had been." This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033. KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And good afternoon and welcome to Sound Off. If you can't tell, my name is not Karen Veeley. I'm filling in. This is Eric Gorham. This will be probably my last time this year. You'll be hearing from me. I'm gone most of the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's too bad it's not March and you're saying that.
I know, right?
Last time this year you're going to hear me.
But we do have a candidate here, but we'll talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
I know Kevin was talking about some stuff happening with Bruce Gibson, but you were kind of
in the middle of it.
So I think we'll get to that. But right before we get going, I would say Karen's taking the day off as usual. She's working on some stories, so check out Calco's News. I'm sure there'll be some stuff coming up. And we have Michael Aaron Woody with us today. We're going to talk about a few things. I think we'll start out with the Gibson stuff, but I think we got just kind of a year in review too, kind of talk about what's been going on, yeah. What's happening.
I thought we were going to talk about where's my Christmas cookies.
Right? No, I was highly upset. You know, and right? I walked in, right? I thought there were going to be milk and cookies at the door,
right?
Celebrating Christmas. I know Michael's upset because I came in and I think Kevin had left me a little present and he didn't get one.
Where's my present? I'd love to write there.
So we're going to get going on that. But first, just remember you can give us a call at any time. We'll be taking calls for the next hour and a half at 238-5775. 238-KPRL, and you can text us at the same number, 805-238-5775. I got the text line open, and we're ready to go on that. So I heard Kevin talking about this yesterday in the morning. Sure. I wasn't able to listen to a lot of it. I was, like, jumping in the truck. I was in and out, so kind of had the radio on and off. But they were talking about Gibson, his wife, and Jim D'Antona. And it looks like Gibson has given up on his wife, but D'Antona is still looking to become a legislative assistant.
Yeah, this was something I got thrown into the middle of that we had heard probably about a month ago that there was talk of this happening, that Bruce Gibson was going to appoint his wife as his legislative assistant.
Maybe we take that first. I think they're two. It's the same issue, but separate problems in my mind.
Right. Yeah. So you want to talk about that section?
Yeah, we could do that first.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we heard this. I mean, like anything. I mean, this is a community where a lot of people know each other. We heard that, and we said, okay, well, that's interesting. We'll keep an eye on it, but. You know, like with any campaign, the rule of thumb is, like in business, you know, you focus on the customer, don't worry about the competition.
Right.
You know, focus on voters, focus on what you're doing. Don't worry about that. It's just noise. And one day I woke up, true story, this is actually the timeline of how this happened, because people have been asking me, when did you know, and were you on the grassy knoll and stuff like that. What happened was that I found out through Karen, through Cal Coast News, that his wife had been appointed. And I was a bit taken back because I thought, well, I mean, that's a conflict of interest. There's a serious problem here.
Right.
Now, what got me so much was the number of people who should know better. Including
Gibson should know better.
Gibson should know better, clearly. I mean, this is ridiculous.
And just the history of it, that was his legislative assistant. He cheated on his wife with her. Kept the relationship secret, and then had to fire when the secret came out.
Yeah,
so he already knows the problem.
Right. There was a there was a lateral that took place from the clerk's office. I mean, yeah. So it was really,
this isn't a new thing. It's not like Gibson doesn't have experience in this.
Right.
That's the only reason I'm pointing out what I just point out is he knows what's right and wrong.
Here. Right. So he had, his legislative assistant previously was Blake Fixley.
Yeah, he was a good kid.
Blake, yeah.
Young guy.
So Blake got transferred to the HR department, which I think is
he took over the head, didn't he?
Oh, did he? Yeah. Or I don't
pretty
know.
High up
I know
the HR.
He's transferred over there.
Yeah.
His exact job title, I don't know. But he got over there. And then at the same time, the HR department also approved his wife coming in and being his part-time legislative assistant. We looked at this and said instantly, because we've been saying it to ourselves for a month, well, he can't do that because it's a conflict of interest. I mean, because you're bringing in a private person that is a, you're making a decision as an elected official that directly benefits your immediate family and or your household financially.
Right.
Okay. No different than awarding a contract. This is the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And we've started pointing this out to people just to get candidly, you know, with a lot of media, a lot of commentators, we're all coming back and saying, oh, geez, you know, we went through this 12, 13 years. This is what this is ridiculous. You know, get back to your campaign. And so finally we looked and we said, okay, we know we're right. I know I'm legally right. I know I've got this right. The county HR department, the county council, all of you guys are wrong. We're right on this. I know that for a fact. And a lot of us knew this, that this was legally wrong. And so we put out a press release to, Cal Coast Tribune, blah, blah, blah. And when we did that, and I kept it focused on Bruce, on the facts that we knew, which was Bruce Gibson and the appointment of his wife, and which is going to be germane to this conversation. Because I kept telling myself, and we talked about this internally, we said, look, here's reality, is that we know there's rumors that Jim D'Antona could come into this. Mm-hmm. Jim D'Antona obviously being his, you know, the guy he's supporting against me. But we said, okay, but we don't know that. That's a rumor. We don't deal with rumors. So let's stay focused on the facts. So we did that. We stayed focused on the facts, put that out there. And then I pick up the Tribune, you know, day or two later. And I contacted Chloe when I gave her the press release. And I said, hey, Chloe, if you got any questions, go ahead and reach out to me. And so Chloe wrote the story. And I...
Was it a story or an editorial?
At this time, it was a story.
Okay.
The first one was a story. When Chloe wrote the story, I pick it up and I see it in the morning. And out of nowhere, here's Jim D'Antona. Jim D'Antona jumps in the middle of the whole thing and starts coming after me. You know, hey, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's this, he's that. This is ridiculous. You know, Bruce Gibson is the greatest person in the whole world. And how this is outrageous that Michael Aaron Woody would go after. So here's Jim D'Antona with his, you know, whole spin control.
Right.
You know, that he's, you know, this is how they do it in L.A. This is what he grew up with in Los Angeles.
Right.
Okay. So the guy comes in town and tries to tell everybody that, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing. And all the little political types in the political circles, circle of bandwagons, coming after me personally. I looked at that and I thought, okay, you know what? I went after the facts. You guys are coming after me personally. So at that point, I amended my press release and I pointed out that, hey, now you got Jim D'Antona in the middle of this. Jim D'Antona, he is supporting Bruce Gibson on this. He has no moral compass to do something like this. He's morally bankrupt to support something that's a conflict of interest. I mean, let's be clear about this once again. This is not... Gee, I disagree with your decision on tree planting.
Right.
This is a violation, a clear cut, one of the worst things you could do as an elected official, a clear cut violation of conflict of interest to enrich your immediate household.
Right.
So Jim D'Antona jumps in and says, I'm the problem. So I said, okay, Jim, that's fine. You want to go after me? Let's go.
So you have to realize, too, there's a lot of travel involved in this.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize how much travel a supervisor does with their assistant.
Oh my gosh, all the time.
And that was part of the problem back in the day when he was having the secret affairs. He was traveling with this woman.
And it's all compensated.
Right. So they're basically going on vacation and saying it's business and maybe hitting up a meeting and wherever and, you know, paying for his airplane, paying for their motel room.
Because, look,
which is weird because usually you're paying for rooms. But in
that's
that
right. So, yeah. And that's the thing about going to these conferences and whatnot. You know, just I think most people understand what these conferences really are. Yes, you go to them. Yes, you go to the meetings.
I don't think most people realize they go to them as much as they do. There's a lot of travel involved.
Absolutely.
In this job.
And they're fully funded. You know, and it could be all over the country. It could be in Hawaii. It could be wherever.
Yeah.
And it is a conference. And it's perfectly legal to do. It's fully reimbursed by the county. You submit your request to do this. They're mm-hmm. always approved.
Right.
And you do your weekend conference in wherever. And trust me, they're always in some pretty nice areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go. It's covered. And if you want to bring a spouse with you, that's perfectly fine. That's not illegal to do as long as they cover their expenses and they cover their hotel and all that side.
Right.
But what it really turns into is that you go to your meetings during the day. And then after everything's done at 3 o'clock, you're out playing golf. You're out. And yes, you have to pay for that personally. So let's be clear about this. I mean, you know, but it's a hybrid weekend vacation. That's what it is.
Right.
And everybody knows it. So it's a hybrid work, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So Jim comes after me and completely unprovoked, which I was really surprised personally. I was kind of taken back by it. I said, okay, well, let's do this. So I call it out for what it is. And then a day passes and I send a note over to Joe Tirica mm-hmm. over at the Tribune. Who I've always had a great relationship with. And I sent him an email, said, hey, Joe, look, you know, you guys really need to look into this. You know, this is a little more than just, you know, hey, this is what happened in the past. I said, the fundamental difference that everybody, including the county council, including the HR department, all the county government types, and all the people who are just coming after me with arrows right now and guns blazing, going after me personally, I said, is that there's a fundamental difference. And here it is. In the past, Sherry, his now wife,
mm-hmm.
used to be, was a government employee at the time. This is 100% different. What we have here is we have a private individual who's not a county employee being brought in. I said, there is a line in the sand difference here. I said, this can't be allowed because if this is allowed to stand, I said, the precedent that this is going to create for future elected officials all throughout this region and even throughout the state of California is terrible.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, what I've heard over and over again, probably for 15 years, 16 years, is, well, they're an elected, not an employee, so it doesn't, employee law doesn't, that's what HR and the county attorney has said for years.
They're wrong.
Is, well, they're, you know, the whole thing with Bruce, a lot of people, some people said it was, oh gosh, you know, it should have been looked at because he started sleeping with his county employee, as that's not allowed. And they said, well, he's an elected, so it doesn't count for him. That's how he evaded HR, you know, getting in, you know, charges, actually, last time, as they said, well, he's elected, laws don't apply.
So,
and I think that, I'm not saying it's right, I'm saying that's how they've looked at it with him in the past.
Yeah, and they looked at it as in a blind eye type of thing. Now, many other counties throughout California have banned this type of thing. You cannot do this at all. But to this thing with what happened here is that for all of these people who came after me, and they had their letter writers writing letters to the editor, Michael Irwin, what is this, you know, he's the worst thing since, I don't know, spam, something, you know, they're the worst human being in the whole world, and he doesn't know what he's talking about, blah, 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 and that Harvard degree means nothing. Okay, great. And then magically, in about 48 hours, the FPPC steps in and says, hey, by the way, all of the professionals and all the county employees and all the county council and the HR department, Bruce Gibson, the elected officials, Jim D'Antona, Sherry Gibson, all of you guys are wrong. By the way, this guy over here, Michael Aaron Woody, he was right all along.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, is that we knew we were right. So many people in this community knew they were right. And it brought up a bigger issue than what happened to me in all of this.
Right.
Is that it goes back to a problem that we're facing here in San Luis Obispo County, and it's this. You have a clique of people, you have an echo chamber of people that are in government, elected officials, and the self-appointed, we are the community leader types. That they only talk amongst themselves. And when it comes to those of us out here in the community who are saying, you can't do that, that's wrong, that's illegal, it should be looked at, it's got to be reviewed. Every time that we speak our voice and we go to them and we say, you can't do this, they all circle the wagons with each other. They go out to lunch, they send text messages to each other. Oh, they don't. Those are just those hayseed voters out there. Those are the hayseeds in the community. Now, we know what we're talking about because we have really cool looking business cards and we have really cool sounding job titles. All they could never, you know, because we're right on this.
Oh, yeah.
And then they wake up one day and they find out all of them were wrong and we were right and I was right on this. And you know what? To this very moment, neither Bruce Gibson, Jim D'Antona, any of their supporters who came after me, Sherry, not one of them have ever bothered to call me personally and say, hey, listen, you know what? Thanks for catching this. You were right on this. Sorry we went after you on this one. And let's just let this one go and move on.
Right.
Not one apology from the county council. Not one apology from the HR department. Nothing.
And before we move on to Jim, I just want to say what I found kind of interesting. I know you were on another radio station and slow. Sure. You kind of, what, 2 weeks ago or so?
Something like that, yeah.
And then right about the day after, I think you did that show, New Times came out with an article, or was it Shredder?
No, it was Shredder. And that's another thing, too, we got to get into is, you know, how was this covered when the FPPC stepped in and said, hold on.
Right.
Put on the brakes on this one. You can't do this. And how it was, candidly, how it wasn't covered. That's interesting to itself.
So that's what's interesting to me. So the, and I'm trying to remember the article. I did read it, but it's been 2 weeks.
In the Slow New Times?
Yes.
It was the Shredder.
Yeah, it was the Shredder, and I think it was pro. They were not excited about what Gibson was doing.
No.
But, and then, you know, shortly thereafter.
But the Slow New Times never covered it as a news story.
No. And that was the other thing. And then shortly thereafter that, the Tribune came out with an editorial.
Once it discovered,
actually a news story, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It wasn't an editorial. It should have been a news story. They put a slant on it, you know, oh, Gibson realized it was wrong and let's just, oops.
That's where.
You know, and it was like, why is that an editorial?
Yeah, this was.
You know, I don't get it. You put out a news story, then all of a sudden it's proven, and then you do an editorial and I'm going to have to say, I'm going to bring this up for the last time, maybe, knock on wood. This is what happened when he got caught the first time cheating. An editorial that he got to write went out to explain what happened. And I almost feel like he got together with whoever wrote that editorial and said, oh, here's what, you know what I mean? They take his side, the Tribune, and I know you have to deal with them and whatever else. But I saw this yet again as let's put another editorial out about Gibson, which they do over and over again instead of news stories. Instead of saying, okay, this was a screw up. He messed up. It's proven. Da 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 da. An editorial to me is an editorial, not a news story. You know what I mean? I don't get it. I don't get what they were trying to achieve by that.
Let me step back. What happened on my side? What I saw take place with all the phone calls on my end and everything. The slow New Times. I know that they're weekly. Obviously, they come out on Thursdays, and they have an odd cycle for how they have to write stories when they get information, how they have to put things in, and sometimes things can happen midweek that it doesn't meet their timeline, and neither do my comments, obviously.
Right. We will be right back with more Sound Off, and we'll finish up the story maybe this half hour. I don't know. It might bleed back in. We'll be right back.
Before we realize it, we will begin celebrating another new year. At Davis Body Shop, we have taken part in over 50 New Year celebrations, and it started back in 1962. Over these years, our New Year's resolutions have remained the same, giving you impeccable quality workmanship, always giving you a written guarantee, giving you the very best value, and making sure that your experience is as pleasant as possible. And that includes assisting you in getting your insurance paperwork filed properly. Remember, at Davis Body Shop, you get a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Davis Body Shop has two locations, one on El Camino Real downtown Atascadero, and the other on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet. From the Davis Body Shop family to yours, best wishes for a happy holiday season.
Gold is at an all-time high. Now is the time to take your scrap gold and turn it into cash or trade it in for new jewelry at Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry in Paso Robles. Take the old or broken bracelets, chains, rings, or trinkets that you never wear and go home with cash in your pocket or get an additional 25% off to use towards a new item. Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry is family-owned and located at 1224 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Paso Robles. Open Wednesday through Saturday.
I recently had the best visit with Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists. He fixed my hearing aid, gave me an efficient hearing test, and adjusted my hearing aids using computer software. I've had my hearing aids for several years. I never felt they were working properly until Peter fixed the issues. The clarity and volume are wonderful now.
If you have hearing aids or need a hearing aid evaluation, call Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast, 805-460-7385, 805-460-7385. Fall is a great time to get outside. Whether you're headed out for a hike, to the beach, or just taking a walk, Tackens has the shoes you need to get outdoors in comfort. Treat your feet to the latest sandals from Keen, Reef, Olukai, Earth, Birkenstock, and much more. Take a hike in the latest and greatest outdoor shoes from Tanner, Keen, Merrell, and much more. Come on down to Tackens in Paso or San Luis today and treat your feet to something special. Tackens Shoes, locally owned and operated since 1937.
Hi, this is Greg King from your Valley Fresh Market. We are happy to be celebrating our first Christmas in Atascadero. Our shelves are full and stocked, ready for your festive parties and family dinners. We wish you and yours a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. From our family to yours, we are Valley Fresh Market.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
And welcome back to Sound Off. Again, phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. You can also text in 805-238-5775. I'll be watching the text line. And I don't know that we're going to get this finished in the amount of time. It's going to bleed over in the next hour, but
I can go fast.
Yeah, we don't want to go too fast, but so the new times hit it. It was Shredder, but I think, like you were alluding to, their news cycle is different. They are weekly.
They're weekly.
And things can change rapidly.
Yeah, they're caught in a weird situation when it comes to news stories.
Sure. And Shredder, I mean, you don't really know who's writing it in theory.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows
that who is the Shredder. That's got to be the best kept secret in this region. Who's writing this?
All right. But... You know, going and then Karen had your information up. I think she turned a lot of your news release into an article, basically, to begin with, and kind of ran with that. But then I was still, and I went on social media, and I don't think I got an answer. At least I kind of went on to the Tribune and said, why is this an editorial? This is a news piece.
That was concerning to a lot of people. And, you know, I'm saying this to the chagrin of a lot of people, I'm sure, listening to me right now, but I have always been a supporter of the Tribune. Whether or not I agree with their editorials is irrelevant to me. Right. You know, that's what an editorial staff does. You know, they can write whatever they want. It doesn't offend me whatsoever. That's their job. But when it comes to their news coverage, the news stories that I've seen, particularly on me or anything else, have always been, at least in my perspective, more than fair, you know, and they've always called, they've always been pleasant to work with. And so I've never had any problems with what they're doing. However, in this case, I've really got to strongly disagree with their editorial decision to take a news story and to say, this is just going to be an editorial and to take an FPPC
and violation. Fluff, kind of a fluff.
Well, yeah, I mean you take a look at whoever the copy editor was that wrote the headline that said Gibson's assistant or Gibson's wife isn't going to work there. Quote, that's a good thing. That's the headline that you give that says, hey, the Rotary Club is getting together to plant 200 trees along the freeway. That's a good thing. This is a campaign. It's not a campaign violation. Excuse me. It is a violation of public trust to do something that rewards an immediate family member and or your personal household, and to treat it like, well, that's a good thing to it, and to just let it go. But the biggest issue of them all is when I had read the, because I wanted to call Joe about this and talk to him and say, explain to me, just Joe, tell me as a friend, you know, why the decision not to run a story on this when there has been a previous story and previous stories on this? Why are you going to take an FPPC finding that says, no, this is actually legally wrong, and bury it in your opinion page? I'm always open to the opposing side. I want to hear, you know, what reasoning went behind this. Well, Joe wrote a little blurb on social media, and he alluded to the fact that, well, that's because this was since we already covered the issue in the editorial, it would have been redundant information to put into a news story.
But this was new information, just FYI.
Yeah, and the perspective is that, well, there's no point of writing a news story on this when we're already putting that information into an editorial. And I looked at that argument, and I thought, there's a hard, fast rule in journalism, in newsrooms, which is your editorial staff and your newsroom always keep a firewall between the two. For the editorial staff to come in and say, we're going to editorialize this, and to go back to a newsroom and to say, this will not be a news story, or however that conversation took place, you can't do that in journalism. The point of having an editorial staff is to take news and events that are taking place nationally, internationally, locally, whatever, and to say, hey, we want to talk about this issue. We think this is really great what the Rotary Club is doing over here. We really want to point out their work, or we're really upset over a decision that, you know, maybe a local city council made because this is really short-sighted. Let us explain why this is short-sighted. But to take something as important as this and as much of a news story as this is, and to say, well, it's nothing, since it's redundant information, we'll just run the editorial on it. To me, it is a terrible journalistic precedent for the Tribune to say, to do something like that, because now take that precedent and let's use it in future stories. Okay, you don't like what somebody did. You don't like what the Paso Robles City Council did, or Slow, or Morbay, or whatever. you don't like what they did, okay, forget writing a story on it. We're just going to write an editorial on it.
Right.
Or we've already got a story on it, so we're not going to editorialize it.
Exactly.
That makes no sense.
No, and I think when we get back, I got to put my opinion out there on something. I think we differ a little bit. And
you mean my support of the Tribune?
Yeah. Well, I see the other side of that, yeah. What they do and how they hide behind their editorial staff, and I want to point that out, and then move on to D'Antona.
Sure.
We'll be right back with more KPRL, more Sound Off. We hope to hear from you. And we'll be back at the top of the hour.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.